You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
All right, man, you guys doing okay today? Good. This is a rowdy, rambunctious bunch. I'll tell you, first service was crazy today. I mean, they really were. They were out of control. You know, I had to tell Lynn Kratzer to not stand up on the chairs. You know, she was just going nuts. So, hey, great to be here. I'm so glad you're here today. And we've got a lot of, there's some visitors here, some family from out of town, Bernice's family. And we have Mike here. Mike's been gone for a long time. He's been going to move to Florida, he and his daughter. And it's good to have them back. Hannah, I think, right? Hannah, yeah, good. Sean, I got you, Sean. Sorry. It's been a long time. But, hey, great to have you here today, man. We're so thankful. And, man, God is good, is he not? This is a huge week. I don't know if you know it or not, but Becca is going to be ordained in the church, the Nazarene. Isn't that cool? So you'll have to see her. We should announce that in the announcements. I should announce the first service. We'll bring her up next week and do something special for her. Josh, don't say anything, okay? Josh in the back. So, I think it's pretty cool. So next week she's going to have, or Tuesday night, she'll have what we call her special papers, and she will be able to do it all. Isn't that cool? It's awesome stuff. Hey, great to be here. Thank you so much for coming. And we're in this, part two of a four-week set of messages called The Things That Jesus Never Said, right? Every week we get up here, we talk about what Jesus says, but these weeks we're talking about what he never says and what he doesn't mean. And in saying all that, I just want to say this, that there are misunderstandings out there. And these misunderstandings are incredibly dangerous. What we know is that to truly understand what Jesus says, it's good sometimes to look at what he didn't say, what he didn't mean. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, you see these movies and depictions and you hear stories, and I don't know, I had the little flannograph growing up in Sunday school class and had my own perception. You guys don't even know what a flannograph is, do you? Some of you old timers do, right? That's how we learn the story. And the look and the appearance, and, you know, I just think that sometimes we need to call into question what our perceptions are about who Jesus really is. And I think in calling that out, it's also important to really look at what he said and what he didn't say, what he meant and what he didn't mean. Is that fair? So I want to say this too, that the scripture is divided. The Bible is divided into two parts. You have the Old Testament and you have the what? Man, you guys, you got to go through ordination with Beck on Tuesday. All right? You guys are smart. This is the smartest group around, I'm telling you. So you have the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I'm telling you, in the first four books of the New Testament, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We call these the my goodness, you guys are spot on this morning. It's wonderful. And in the Gospels, in some scripture, you see red letters. Those red letters, that's what Jesus says, right? That's what Jesus says. That's what the words that Jesus say. And I'm telling you that those words are essential to salvation. Understanding that is understanding truth, right? And if you get that, everything else begins to make sense. If people would say, Ryan, what's the most important part of the Bible? I would tell you folks without any hesitation, the most important part is to understand what Jesus had to say and understand what Jesus didn't say. Does that make sense? So I'm telling you, when you understand that, everything begins to come together. The Old Testament makes sense. The latter part of the New Testament begins to make sense. Everything comes together, all right? So in saying all that, and in saying that, understanding what Jesus says is truth. It is truth, okay? It is truth. And there is something that runs contrary to the truth. Now, when I say this, I'd love for all of you just to say, ooh, okay? Not yet. You guys you're out of control this morning, you know? Jeepers. Okay, so the what runs contrary to the truth is the power of the lie. Ooh. Now, I'm telling you, that is the absolute truth. The power of the lie, right? Jesus is the way, the what? Truth. You guys, goodness sakes, you guys are just off the chain. The truth. Jesus is the truth, right? And the truth will what? Exactly. Oh, my goodness. You've got it. You can just go home now. Yeah. Someone say, okay, see ya. Yeah, I'm out of here. No, but that's the truth. That is the truth. Here's the truth. And I want to tell you, the only authority that the enemy has over us is this power of the lie. That is it. I used to watch these spooky movies. You can say who? Ooh, right. Spooky movies, right? I feel like I'm in one of those melodramas, you know, something like that. Just joking. So, but yeah, spooky movies. And I just think, man, the devil and the spooky stuff, that's just, you know, that is like scary and, you know, that's what it's all about. But here, I want to tell you this, right? The only authority that the enemy has over you and I is the lie. If we believe the lie, he's got us. Outside of that, man, Jesus has supreme authority. He has authority over the lie. We just have to believe him for what he says, right? So let's just kind of dig into this. We'll look at it, and you guys can get on me. Just for fun, let's just say this. Just for fun. Here's some things Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, go into the world and preach whatever makes people happy. He didn't say that, did he? He also didn't say this. Whoever wants to be my disciple must affirm themselves, avoid the cross, and follow their own heart. Jesus did not say that. He did not say this. Ask, and it will be given to you, because God is your celestial sugar daddy, your Cosmo Coke machine. I'm stealing this from Groeschel. Your jacuzzi Jesus. Ooh, like that. I stole that. That's all stolen. Just saying. I'm not smart enough to come up with that. That's just powerful. Now, but the truth is this, is that there are things that Jesus did say. So let's understand it for what it is. Today, what we're looking at is two. There's two things I want to look at that he didn't say. One is going to really free us up, and the other one is going to free us up if you dig down into it, but you may feel a sense of conviction with the second one. But I want to free us up first. Here, today my hope is this, is to give you two. Today you're getting one, you're getting two for the price of one, right? A two for deal, right? You're getting two for the price of one. Ooh, Bill says who? Goodness sakes. And so here's the two that I want to share with you. Follow me and you can do whatever makes you happy. Jesus did not say that. Jesus did not say this. Follow me and you have to do whatever makes you unhappy. Jesus did not say that. So let's look at this. Let's look at the second one first, okay? I have met some very unhappy church people in my 40 years of Christian service. Matter of fact, some of the most unhappy people on the planet, I think, go to church. I don't know why or how or what, but it's kind of what my experience has been. And you can go, ooh, you know. Sometimes I think that, you know, we can make that argument. I mean, growing up on Saturday nights, I think it was around 11 o'clock, 11:30, something like that, there was this show. And on this show, they would have a skit. And the skit was the, isn't that special? Some of you are going to say, when I tell you I watch Saturday Night Live, right? The church lady. And then they come off with this church lady, kind of this prune, you know, just, you know what I mean? And so I mean, not very happy, folks. And I don't know if the media has made that out to be what it is, or maybe perhaps it's us, or maybe it's a combination of both. But what I know is that God does not want us unhappy. We need to be the happiest people on earth. I believe that there's this huge misunderstanding that as a follower of Christ, you can never do what makes you happy. And when you do something fun, oh my goodness, this is not right. I'm having fun. You know, I'm being grown, you know, growing up in the faith and knowing what my lies are and, you know, my you know, I always struggle. I struggle with like this guilt over stupid stuff. You know what I mean? Kind of this condemnation kind of thing, you know, within myself. Not that anyone inflicts it, but I just question. When I begin to have too much fun, it's like, man, I love coaching my Little League baseball team. These guys are great. Little Titus's team, it's fun. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. And I find myself having so much fun with it that I question it. Lord, is this not what you want? Matter of fact, I took it to my sponsor. Took it to Jerry Heatherly. I'm like, Jerry, man, I'm having so much fun doing this. And I mean, I just don't know if I should be doing it. I don't know. You know, it's taking time from other things. And I, and Jerry's like, dude, what are you saying? Are you making a difference in those kids' lives? Well, I hope so. They're saying, I, you know, parents are happy. Everything's cool. Dude, do it. This is great. God's blessed you with this opportunity to spend this extra time with your youngest son. The other two like to hunt and fish. He doesn't. This is my opportunity to do something with them. But the enemy trying to steal it. You follow what I'm saying? Look, yesterday we had a great time. We went kayaking. I'm in a kayak. I'm like, oh, Lord, I really got to get home and get my message done. I shouldn't be doing this. I mean, I'm not done yet. I'm not ready yet. I got to preach tomorrow. Dude, relax. Right? I mean, look, Jesus wants us. He has designed us with him to have a really good time. Matter of fact, you should have a really good time in here today. It is not wrong to laugh, folks. I know some of you are still trying to understand what's going on in here this morning. Thanks, Bill. But God wants us to have fun. Look at some scripture here. Let's just look at this. God gives us things to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy life. Jesus says this in John 15:11. I have told you this so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will what? Overflow. Now, does that sound like he wants us to be the church lady? No, man. Look at John 17:13. And now I am coming to you. I have told them many things while I was with them, so they would be filled with joy. John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but my purpose is to give life in all its fullness. Now, just for you church ladies out there, I pulled the King James for it. Some are saying, what's King James? It's the old translation. Let's look at this. And actually, I like this. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it what? More abundantly, right? God has called us to life in all its fullness. The passage that really changed my mind, changed my life, and this was a foreshadow of what was to come, because people in the Old Testament, there's a lot of people who didn't have a lot of fun, and in writing this, it was a prophetic word of this Messiah, this Jesus was come to bring joy to all those on earth, and in it, in Psalms 37:4, it says this: take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Folks, that is powerful. And here's what it means. It means that when you're delighting yourself in the Lord, meaning when you're doing things like coming here on Sundays or praying through the week or reaching out and serving someone and your relationship with the Lord is growing and God is speaking and you're journaling and your prayer life, things are going on, you're delighting yourself in the Lord, and God then begins to give you desires of your heart that he wants you to pursue. Man, there's been, I mean, a lot of people that I've sat down with, and they say, I just don't know what God wants me to do. And I say to them, what is it that ticks you off and makes you cry? those, you can find your desire. There's your heart's desire is in that. That's usually pointed towards what God is calling you to do. It's who God's calling you to be. This was freeing to me. You know, I always struggled with the idea of being a quote-unquote pastor. All through high school, you know. I would, you know, they would give this altar call at the time, and I'd go up and pray, oh, God, for, you know, I surrender to your call, you know, and I would surrender to the call, and then I found myself driving through, you guys are going to think I'm nuts, but driving through a car lot, and my heart would just, the reason why is because I had this tug, ministry or a used car salesman. I always wanted to be a used car. I know you think I'm crazy. Now I'm the second best thing is a realtor, right? So something like that, right? So, but my point is that there's just, all through growing up, I just, you know, there's this thing. And finally, this lady, she says, you know, because all preacher after preacher after preacher, Ryan, you have to surrender to the call to full-time ministry. There's no such thing as bivocational. Well, now bivocational ministry is the exception, not the norm, folks. You get what I'm saying? God was calling us to do what we do here. I believe that. And with that said, he does not say, follow me and you have to do whatever makes you unhappy. God does not do that. God puts you in a place when you follow him where you experience joy unspeakable. That's what God's about. It's about filling you with that. Here's the second thing. I don't know whose phone that is, but it's all good. We have fun around here. I hear a phone ringing. We don't even have a phone in here, do we? I don't know. Maybe we do. But anyways, all right. Here's the second one. Here's the second thing that Jesus doesn't say. Follow me and you can do whatever makes you happy. He doesn't say that. Just because we are happy or just because we're doing what is happy, it does not mean it's right. And let me explain. Because if we step outside of God's will and instruction, folks, I know I'm not the only one here this morning that has stepped outside of God's will and instruction. It will lead to shame and guilt and pain. Are you here with me today? It will lead to pain and hurt. In John 8, 3 through 11, not long back, I think we preached out of this or we shared out of the scripture. But look at it again. Just in this passage, it's all about a lady who was caught in the act of adultery, and they bring her up before the crowd. And as the law was written, they're trying to trap Jesus, and they're using this lady who made a mistake, and they're using her to try to trap Jesus. And in doing so, they bring in and they ask Jesus these questions. You can read that. You read it, take it home, read it. But what I want you to see is Jesus steps up for her and he covers for her and he calls out everyone else's sin. You'll see that, right? And it's stepping up for her at the end when everyone else had cleared out, all of her accusers. He looks at her and he says, go and sin no more, right? That's what he says. He doesn't say, go and do whatever makes you happy. Go now and follow your heart. It doesn't matter what you do. No, he says, go and sin no more. Go now with a sense of urgency. Leave the life of sin, right? Be different, be free. And it's in that that you find your joy. See, I don't care who y'all are, you know, you can play whatever game you want or charade or whatever, but I will tell you, man, the bottom line is that sin and its temptation is very luring. And sin at first glance and at first experience is fun. Some are saying, oh. But it leads to guilt, shame, pain, death, devastation, destruction. Looking at this passage today and seeing it in this week and reading a commentary on it, this is what I wanted to do. What we've seen done with our work here today. But in looking at this story in John chapter 8, what I'd like to do is maybe step out of John, or look at John chapter 8 and look at perhaps the mindset that this lady was dealing with and struggling with. Can we do that? I don't think this lady was like, woke up one morning and said, oh, I'm going to go find what's-his-face, and I'm going to go commit adultery with him, and I'm going to wreck his home, and I'm going to, you know, ruin his life and ruin mine in the meantime. I don't believe that that's the way that this went. I think it went something probably more like this. She shows up to work one day in the office, and there's this new guy that's there. Nice guy. And man, they're working, and over the course of a couple months, they kind of get to know each other a little bit, and they compliment each other's work, and they share an attention, and he begins to like her ideas. Notices her hair. Innocent, nothing wrong with that. You know, funny, thoughtful. Then they begin to comment on each other's Facebook posts. Send some messages to each other. Thumbs up. LOL. You know, whatever. Goofy, you know, emojis, you know. Who knows where it goes there, you know, and then they show up to work, and then they find, you know, she finds herself in a position where she's kind of liking the idea of going to work and, you know, looking to see where he's at, and he's looking to see where she's at, and then, you know, I mean, the attention that she's getting from him is certainly not the attention that she's getting at home. By the way, this is not just a she thing, this is a he thing, right? One afternoon, they stay late after work, and they begin to open up about each other's marital struggles. They connect on a deeper level. They tell each other, man, I think I made a huge mistake. Wish I'd married someone like you. And then he, you know, one day accidentally, they brush up against each other's arms. Ooh, you know? And things begin to deteriorate, kind of go down a slippery slope. Are you here with me today? See, I think that in John chapter 8, that was probably the way it really went down. And here, at the end of the story, the woman is gathered in the middle of a bunch of judgmental men who shouldn't have been looking and watching in the first place, because there had to be witnesses. And they're about to throw rocks at her. And Jesus shows up. Devastated. Shame. Guilt. All taking this incremental step. Plural steps to this place where she never thought she would be. Folks, that's the way this thing works. You understand what I'm saying? And we say to ourselves, this idea about making each other or making ourselves happy. We're just not happy. We're just not happy. Her emotions out of control. Feels right. And, you know, her best friend saying, you got to follow your heart. Step by step, they reach this point where essentially there is, it's absent of truth, right? Absent of truth. Here's the deal. Without a belief in truth, without the belief in truth and understanding what Jesus really says about this, truth is defined by whatever. Truth is not defined by whatever makes us happy. When the bottom line is happiness, happiness becomes the standard by which we judge our actions. So what I want to encourage you guys in today is there is truth that you can follow. And when you follow that truth, God keeps you from being deceived and coming to a point of guilt and shame. There's this word in the scripture, and it's really a word that a lot of times gets really confusing, and it's called holiness. And in the New Testament, it says, God said, be ye holy as I am holy, right? I mean, there's a passage in there that talks about holiness and how we're called to holiness. And some would say, oh my gosh, what is holiness? I mean, I grew up thinking that holiness was something about wearing your hair up and a dress, and you know, you could only wear dresses, couldn't go to movies, and certainly not dances. Woo-wee. All right. That's where I grew up. I grew up in that, right? And holiness was more about exterior, folks, what I want to say here is that happiness and holiness, you find joy in holiness, in being more and more like God. Are you here with me today? There's joy in that. There's when you receive that absolute truth and you begin to base your life on that. God, help me here. Base your life on that. There is this sense of fulfillment that keeps you out of that shame, guilt, and pain. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, it says this. So if you, and this is Jesus actually talking to a bunch of church people, right? Just telling you. It says this in 7:11. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? God wants you to trust him for your happiness. For joy. There's this Max Lucado story, and I'm going to steal it. And in this story, it's about a fish. And I and my boys, we fish a lot, right? And so hypothetically, I'm going to kind of make it my own. Tyne catches a big fish. He's got about a 4-pound bass. He takes that bass and it's up on the bank and he pulls the hook out and the fish is flopping there on the bank. And Travis and Titus are like, Dad, I don't think the fish is very happy. No, the fish is not happy. It's got a flipping hook in its mouth, right? So we get the hook out of its mouth and it's still flopping there on the bank. It's just flopping like crazy. And I still don't think the hook is very happy. All right, here's what we're going to do. The fish is not happy, so here's what we're going to do. You guys get your money out. So we get our money out. We start flipping money, cash money on the fish, right? The fish is flopping, right? The fish is like, I don't care about your money, right? It's flopping on the bank. And then we say to the fish, you know, well, maybe what we need to do is get the fish a chair and some sunglasses. So we get a chair and sunglasses on the side of the bank by the lake there, and the fish is just flopping, right? It's not happy. The fish is not happy. It's still not happy. And we try everything in the world to try to make the fish happy, right? And we, but the fish is not happy. And we all know this, that the fish will never be happy on the bank, right? Because it was not designed for the bank. What was the fish designed for? The water. The fish is designed for the water. Just as the fish was not made for the bank, we were not made for this world. We're not made for this world. No matter what you try to do, you're never going to find fulfillment without placing your faith in Christ and without receiving of Him and without moving forward in that relationship with Him. You were not made for this earth. You were made for holiness. You were made to be set apart. Man, I just think that what we ought to think about today is that we need to lower our expectations, right? When you begin to lower your expectations for what's here, what this world has to offer, I'm telling you, a new boat, a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend, a new vacation, a bunch of likes on your Facebook page, all right? No matter what it is, your hair, a body, a pair of shoes, self-esteem, give your... Look, you will not find fulfillment unless you place your faith and trust in Christ Jesus and in His Word. God help us. Man, I'm just tired of the lies, folks. I'm tired of the lies. I'm tired of the lie of how overeating can bring fulfillment. I'm tired of the lie how spending money can bring fulfillment. I'm tired of the lie how smoking whatever you smoke or drinking whatever you drink or prescribing whatever you prescribe. I'm tired of it. The idea that pornography can bring fulfillment to you is a bold-faced lie, and it leaves you dirty and shameful and guilty. God help us. God help us. What I know is that the Lord will never put more on us than what we can bear. He will never put more on us than we can bear. That's the truth. And He will offer us joy and peace. Let's close with this. Psalms 16:11. You can stand with me if you would like. We'll be dismissed here in just a second. Psalm 16:11. Here's what it says. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Just read this with me, right? Just read this with me because it kind of pulls it all together. Read it out loud. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. God, help us. Lord, I pray for my friends, all that's here, and all that are going to be here that are not yet here. I pray for those that are driving past this building every stinking day, God, that are hungry and thirsty for a drink of the living water. I pray for all those that are here in these seats this morning that are hurting, that have experienced and tasted the shame of what our dear sister from years back experienced by being called out by a bunch of hypocrites. God, like her, we all stand in pain and shamed. We all have experienced that. And I pray that this morning we would receive the truth that we need in knowing that Jesus loves us and that He died for us. And in His death, it was never meant for us to be unhappy or joyless. He paid a price for us to experience joy in Him. And I pray that that would not be taken in vain. Help us, Lord, today to receive of him. I pray, God, there are some that are here this morning. If you would just bow your heads with me, just pray with me. There's some here this morning that would say, Ryan, I am not happy. I am not happy. I've lost it or I've never found it. And I need to find it this morning. And I'm willing to not step out. I'm willing to trust this Jesus thing. I'm willing to accept Jesus. Or I'm willing to rededicate my life to Jesus. I'm willing to ask God for his help. That's you this morning that's not happy. Would you just raise your hand? Right where you're at. I see those hands. See those hands. Staff meeting. I'm going to pray with you in just a second. In staff meeting, Chris Jackson, Pastor Chris, he shared with us what he'd been sharing with his deep dive class. And in that, he's been talking about they call it the Beatitudes, right? And in that was the first one. And he had took 7 minutes and just shared with us staff pastors here at the church that first one, and he's going to do it every week for us, but that first one, and we're going to share it here one day, but blessed are the poor in spirit. And when he said that to me, and he began to teach that to us, help us see it in a way that we've not seen it. Blessed are those, basically, that are poor in spirit. What's that mean? Poor in spirit. Those that admit that they are in need of God to help them is what that is. In need of God to fill them. In need of God to bring joy and hope into their life. God, thank you for that teaching. Blessed, Chris says, then Jesus says, and Chris teaches, blessed are the poor in spirit. I believe that there are some folks here today that just need to express their need for Jesus to come into their life. They're not happy. So before I pray, I just want to give you another opportunity. Just raise your hands really high this morning if that's you. If that's you this morning and you need that, I see those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. Thank you, God. If you just bow your head with me right now and just pray with me. Father, forgive me for trying to do this on my own. Father, save me. Father, fill me with your joy. Fill me with your presence. Help me to follow you. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. Amen. You may be blessed. Thank you so much for being here.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.